Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, sisters and brothers in the Lord. We welcome you tonight. We give praise, glory, and honor to God on July 11, 2021. This is the Agape Worldwide Prayer and Delivery Ministry. This is Pastor Ruth of North Carolina. We welcome you in the precious name of Jesus tonight on this beautiful evening. We thank and praise God for being in Atlanta, living in spite of all the different things that's going on in the world. Because he's still in control, and we thank and we praise him for that tonight. We come tonight to bless his holy name. We come tonight to expound on the word. We come tonight, you know, prayer for receiving greater revelation. So we're seeking God to be able to help bring his people into a place in him of relationship and maturity so they can walk close with him. And we can really trust him and have hope. Because we really need it in these days and time that's here today. Because so much evil is going on in the world. And so much unlove between the people of God and the body of Christ. Excuse me. That we need to really get before the Lord and seek the Lord and have him to come and shower his love in us so the love can shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost to people. And one of the main things I do see, the body of Christ fight against one another and pull one another down, which is wrong, is sin. And I'm just praying for a revival, not a church revival, but a revival of God's sovereign presence fall down on us and shower us and change our heart and our lives so that we can be a people that truly represent him. Because we need to establish his kingdom and tear down Satan's kingdom. That's what we really truly need to do. So we just bless you, Lord, tonight. We first of all, we come repent of anything that we said and done that was not pleasing in your sight, Father, or anything that we've done or said to anyone, God, that offends someone. Lord God, I'm not apologizing for telling people what the Word of God said and the truth, Lord God, but preferably, God, not having gotten in the flesh and said anything, God. So I pray that your blessing be upon your people. I pray healing, deliverance, and set them free. I pray that their needs will be met, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father God, for the people in the hospital. I pray for people in the nursing home. I pray for people, God, in the government, in the White House, God. I pray, Father God, of those that don't know you for a closer walk with you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I lift them up to you right now, Father, because it's you we meet in the White House, God. And I pray, Father God, that they be God-fearing people and recognize they are accountable to you for every decision that they make, Father, according to Proverbs 9 and 10, Father. I pray, Father God, that they be granted wisdom with the gospel and a loving Christian witness according to Romans 10, 14. Father, I pray that if unsaved, that they be drawn to a saving encounter with Christ. And if they're born again, they will be strengthened and encouraged in their faith. 1 Timothy 2 and 4, Ephesians 1, 17, 23. I pray those scriptures over the right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that they recognize their own inadequacy and pray and seek the will of God according to Proverbs 3, 5 through 8, Luke 11, 9 through 13. I pray that they be convicted of sin, transgression, and iniquity according to Psalm 51, 17, John 8 and 9. I pray, Father God, that they heed their conscience, confess their sin, and repent. Proverbs 28, 13, James 4 and 8. Lord, I pray also, Father, in the name of Jesus, they read the Bible and attend prayer meeting and Bible study according to Psalm 119, 11, Colossians 3 and 2. I pray, Father God, that they regard the Ten Commandments and the teaching of Christ in Psalm 19, 7 through 11, John 8, 31 through 32. Father, I pray that they respect and honor their own parents as living, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. I pray, Father, that they respect authority and practice accountability, Romans 13, 1 through 7. Father, I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that they be given godly counsels and God-fearing advisors, Proverbs 24 and 6. Father, I pray that they be honest and faithful to spouses and children, Malachi 2, 15 through 16. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that they be practicing members of local congregations, Hebrews 10, 25. Father, I pray that they desire impurity and abhor debauchery, pornography, perversion, and drunkenness. 1 Corinthians 6, 9-20, Titus 2 and 12. Father, I pray that they be timely, reliable, and dependable according to Matthew 21:28-31. Father, I pray that they be honest in financial, tax, and ethical matters. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Timothy 6 and 6 through 10. I pray, Father God, that they seek pastoral care and counsel when needed. Hebrews 13 and 7. Father, I pray that they seek out and nurture godly friendship. Psalm 1 and 1 through 3. Father, I pray that they have thankful and teachable spirit. Romans 1:21. Father, I pray, Father God, that they be generous and have a compassionate heart for the poor and needy. Psalm 112:9, Luke 10:33-37. Father, I pray that they redeem their time and no priority. Ephesians 5:15-17. Father, I pray that they desire honest integrity and loyalty. Psalm 26 and Proverbs 11:3. I pray that they have courage to resist manipulation, pressure, and the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25. 2 Timothy 1:7. I pray that they be shielded from occultism, new age cult, false religion, secret society. Isaiah 1:29, Isaiah 2:6. Father, I pray that they be presented with biblical worldviews and principles. Ephesians 3:10. Father, I pray that they be endeavored to restore the sanctity of life, family, divine orders, and morality in our nation. Ephesians 5:22. And then 6 and 4, I pray that they work to reverse the trend of humanism in our nation. 1 Chronicles 12:32, Isaiah 59:19. Father, I pray that they desire humility and meekness and be willing to serve and cooperate. John 13 and 14, Titus 3:1-2. Father, I pray that they be prepared to give account to Almighty God. Hebrews 9:27. And Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, prayer over our nation, over the people in authority, whatever level that they are authority that they're in, Father, whether it's in the White House or whether it's in the local, whether it's police department, sheriff department, highway patrol department, Lord God, or whether it's the governor, Father God, or whatever it is, we pray for that right now in the name of Jesus, that your divine purpose and will be, Father, in the lives of people. We pray, Father God, that your spirit would draw us in a closer relationship with you during these times, Father, so we can have some hope in you, because things are getting worse and worse, and we're not in that rightful place in you, Father God. We will faint and fall in the name of you because of the things that are coming up on the earth, Father. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, first of all, that we put the yoke of our relationship above everything else that we need, because we need our angels and you protecting us from the different things, Father, in the name that you want to bless us with. Father, I just pray for a deeper hunger in those of us, Lord God, that be hungry and thirsty after righteousness, God, your righteousness, your way, God, that the Lord God, and if we do that, because you say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and you said everything else be added. So, Lord, we need to be about what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what will you want me to talk to you about today, Lord? What do you want me to do today, Lord? You know, God, and once we have your heart and your mind and be concerned about you, then you will be concerned about us. And we won't have to even pray a lot of time for things you were just doing, because we are putting you first. Lord, we're denying stuff and putting you first. I thank you and praise that tonight, Lord, and I pray the healing and deliverance for each and every person, Father. It's several people, you know, have Lord, still asking for prayer, and I lift them up to you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, I am praying not only just for healing, but I'm praying that they turn their heart and their life over to you, first of all, because your words say healing is the children's bread. So actually, Father God, when people are not serving, yes, you're merciful and you're loving and you bring unjust, but the blessings and the healing and deliverance is not for the people that do not serve you. But Lord God, I pray for salvation and deliverance for each and every one of them, Father, and whatever they're going through, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I just pray, Father God, that we will turn around to really love one another, not compromise with people, Father, but not always, you know, talking and putting people down, because we all got faults. We all may not operate in them, but the right button get pushed, we may do that. But, Father, I thank you tonight for each and every person that may call in, Father. But most of all, I thank you, Lord God, that I still got a willing heart to obey you, that you didn't bring me this far to leave me, and I intend to reach my end or the pinnacle. So when I stand before you, you can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that everything that you put in me, I don't want to leave this world until I have given it all out. And, Father, give me wisdom to give it out to the people that wants it. And because I know all of us need it, but you know, but a lot of us don't want. Don't let me waste anything else anymore, because you tell us in your word, don't cast your pearls on much of slime, because they'll tramp them on them. A lot of times, God, we tell people things, and they just walk all over to get the question. And you give us wisdom to say, even though they need it, I called you to do it, and you did it. So now, if they don't want to receive it, move on to somebody else. And Father, you said in your word, whatever that I ask you in the name of your son Jesus, you said you would do it. So Father, this prayer request, even unspoken prayer request, I lift them up to you right now. And Father, I know from what your words say, the answer is already here. So we open up our faith to receive that answer. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. So we're just taking praise, like I said, the Lord. And tonight, I'm going to talk about the Beatitudes in Matthew, the 5th chapter. A lot of times we have heard talk about the Beatitudes, never said, but the Beatitude is a declaration of blessedness, heavenly joy, happiness, the favor of God, felicity, which means prosperity, blessing and enjoyment of God, made by our Savior to particular virtues. Virtues is moral goodness. You know, there come a time, a lot of things is for us, but there are certain conditions for these things. I can't just live any kind of way and have any kind of attitude to just think that I'm supposed to have God's best. Okay, I'm not saying he won't have mercy. I'm not saying he don't render the just as the unjust. And which I tell the Lord a lot of times, you know, I know he renders the just as well as the unjust. I know he don't have no in-between, no gray area. So I got to be one or the other. So in thinking that way, I know I'm going to be blessed. But with what, I don't know. But I do know that the blessings of God, really to be blessed and happy and joyful, come out in the inside. You may have all hell going on around you, but you know, but that joy, that nothing don't rouse you up. That's coming from God. And this is what he will give us. Like I said, there's certain things, result of, so I'm going to read right now, the result of blessings does not come from a favorable circumstance. So just remember and get in your heart, the circumstances around you don't have to be favorable, you know, to your lacking or having all you want or whatever it is. But inside of you, that can be such a joy, such a peace. Really, you have to sometimes pinch yourself. Why am I worried? Why am I concerned? But see, that's the peace that comes from God, and that's the peace what mankind can't give us. We can't even give our own self that. But these progress come in progress, and it come from the indwelling spirit of Christ in us. Those people who do not let Christ live within them, they cannot possess it. They cannot have it. Those only that got Christ, you can see it, because people say, well, look like you don't have this. Why are you so happy all the time? It's because of Christ. My circumstances does not determine my happiness or my joy or my peace, but it's Christ. But he said, this progress of the benefit that comes with the Beatitude depends upon the fulfillment of the conditions that is put down in the Beatitude. And I'm going to read the Beatitudes in a few minutes. First, we must realize that we are helpless, and that without Christ in our life, we are nothing. We can do nothing. We are nothing we can do. I mean, we're a human being. But without him, we are nothing. But all of God's word, when you study the word, it comes with condition. Just like, you know, the scripture says, if you commit your ways unto me, I'll bring a path. Okay, if I don't give him, commit my ways or whatever going on with me, whatever to him, how can he bring it to pass? And see, that's why I say people don't really study the word. And a lot of things they're praying and asking God for, all they got to do what the word says, live right now, and do what the word say. He said, if you know, he said, if your ways please me, I'll make your enemy be at peace. And this is why a lot of times I said, with me, even though I know I do try to walk in obedience, but I also know that thing, you don't know everything. And sometimes God could be a thought could come to you to, you know, to maybe read your word or whatever it is. But put you off that said disobedience. So sometimes we think little things don't matter to God, but it does, because what he's you know, want to teach us how to do is be totally obedient. And I can go back and I remember, I was preaching, where I've done all the things that I know to do. But one thing that I was doing, when I had the car, a lot of times people asked me, take them place, this place, that place. And I know what the Lord had the sister tell me before I brought the car home. But I'm still thinking, because I'm preaching and teaching, you know, praying for people and the spirit coming up, that I was all right with the Lord. But I find out it wasn't until he put me through a big test to see where my heart really was, whether it was really on him or whether it was on, you know, on something else. But anyway, he had someone to come to me after the test and told me, said, God said, now he can trust me. And I'm looking at them. I'm not talking back, because I don't do that. And I'm saying to myself, I thought I was trusting God all the time. But because, see, sometimes things get to aggravate us, and, you know, and it'd be God sometimes telling us, don't do that, don't whatever, and we do it anyway. And sometimes people put pressure on us. But anyway, I had to learn that when he put the biggest test of my life with me, when he asked me to get in my heart to give up my daughter, that was one of the biggest tests. But he wanted to see if I was really real with him, you know. But we have tests that God sometimes would ask us to pay. And this is why you see a lot of time people can't walk in the north and the power. Because everything that God may require them to give up, he don't require somebody else. And one thing with a lot of church folks, well, I don't know, well, he didn't require that of me. I'm not going to do that. But he may have, and they just didn't do it. But anyway, the fifth chapter of Matthew, the first verse, and seeing the multitude, and this is what Jesus was teaching, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. The disciples, a learned student, a teacher, a student of the word, somebody who obeyed the word of God, and he's teaching. So we are all disciples of Christ. If we obey the word, let him teach us with this, teaching us through scripture or teaching us to someone else. And I can tell people, one thing I'm talking for is growing spiritually. I didn't know all the Bible, and I still don't. But I grew spiritually because whenever God was trying to teach me or had people trying to teach me the word, I didn't sit and argue with them back. I didn't sit and question with them back. I just ate that word, even when he was spanking me. I ate the word. I got when he got on me, and a lot of time he was doing that. It's not so much that I was not that doing anything, but the thing of it is, some callings, God cannot let our life be touched with anything wrong. And so what he'll do, he'll come before, because he already see ahead, and he'll come before and give us warning. If we don't learn the ways of God, we think, well, why he, I'm not doing nothing. But he sees the thoughts, he sees the mind, he sees everything. You know, but anyway, the scripture says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, and saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. So blessed, like I said, means to be prosperous. It means spiritual happiness, having the favor of God, enjoying heavenly blessing, the joy of heaven, being fully satisfied. It's a state of blessings. Like I said, satisfied don't mean you have to have everything. But we can be contented in whatever state we are in. And one thing that I've learned with the Lord, and I was trying to tell somebody this the other day, and God's going to have to help me, because sometimes people just get on my very nerve. Telling him, as long as you complain and you're not content, you're going to stay going around that mountain. You're going to stay going around that mountain. And God must know, yeah, he see your needs. He see what you think is your need. But you don't know what he's doing in you. I said, he said, give thanks in all things. But this is the will of God. He also said, give thanks in all things, for all things. And I told him, I said, if you start to think it needs a bad thing because the situation that was going on with her, you know, and all, and I had texted her back, and I told her, I said, because she was, you know, on the text, I can tell when people's upset. So I told her, I said, you need to start praising God. The good, the bad, the indifferent. I said, I know some of these name brand preachers, that's what I call them, will tell you, well, you're not supposed to thank God for the bad thing. I said, but the scripture says, give him thanks in all things. All things means just what it says. Give him thanks for all things. I said, so begin to thank him, and you begin to see him. Little by little, you begin to see things begin to change, begin to change. But as long as I'm complaining about it, and finally she texted back and said she did it. But I told her, I said, one thing, too, I was probably going to have to stop texting and being around her because I'm fearful, not to say I'm afraid of God, but I respect him. And you're not going to talk junk about him to me. He don't hit me, he don't this, and, you know, and he, what, no, not with around me, you're not. Because if the wrath of God fall, let it hit you, but not me. Because he, you know, we're supposed to have reverence for him. You ain't supposed to do his leaders like that. But anyway, he said, bless up the poor. And the poor is people that's in need, whether, you know, have things that they need or want or whatever they are, and they're poor in spirit. You know how a lot of times people be down in their spirit. But the Bible said people like that, first of all, they're blessed. Now, the natural mind could never understand that. How in the world could they be happy? Because the scriptures say so. And with them, the kingdom of God, said the rules, the reign of God is with them, even in those situations. This is why you can't look at things with your natural mind. This is why you cannot even think with your natural thought. Because the way God does things, the way things happen, it'll blow you out of the water. Because they say, how can this be? It can be because he said it. And that's where I have to look at things, you know, in that perspective. But the Bible said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Bible says you're joyful, you're happy, you're mourning over whatever. It could be something you lost, somebody passed, or whatever. You know, but the Bible says you're blessed. You know, and it's a part of an emotion or whatever it is, because like I say, if you didn't have no emotion, you wouldn't be able to moan or cry or do anything. So God, the way he see things, and the way he not only see that, his definition of things always is different from ours. Always different from ours. This is why I tell people, when I'm ministering to people a lot of time, you know, they'll say something. That's what God said. It's not, yeah, but that's the way I said, hold up. God is always right. We wrong. I said, I'm going to tell you because I told myself one time, I mean, I really just thought I was using my faith. Nobody else couldn't have told me I wasn't using my faith. But when God had it spoken out to use the faith he gave me, I knew that he saw it wasn't because I was questioning him about a situation, when was it going to change. And I did that because I had heard the Christians say that. But I found out sometimes when you get a certain place in God, he knows better where you are than you do. Okay, he requires you to trust him so, even though you can't tell he's moving. But knowing this, that he said, I'm always moving, even when you think I'm not moving. But see, it's going back to having a new mindset, having a new way of thinking. You look at the thing the way the Bible said, not the way you think it ought to be, or not, especially not the way a lot of these Christians or whatever you want to call them, you know, because these people got some messed up minds. Semester mine. I was talking to the Lord this morning, a couple of people, and it's not that I can't be taught, but they can't teach me because they ain't know where they sell, but they're always trying to teach me the word or explain me the word or whatever, and I'm telling them they're being trained for ministry, but God said he has already trained me, and he has already, I'm walking in my destiny. I'm not getting trained for my destiny, so he's training me and raising me up now to teach people, even though I've been teaching people all this year, but I've been in like boot camp, you know, in boot camp. But this, in order to explain the word, because like I tell them, I can be happy in the midst of certain situations. I have grown in the Lord. So when the Bible tells me, it said, bless up they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And based the Bible tells us, you know, the Holy Spirit is the comforter. That's why I'm telling people, you know, I know we, you know, get saved, but it's another level of being baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And a lot of time I pray that God would dip people down in kerosene, His Spirit, and set their heart ablaze. Because when the Holy Spirit is there, it would come for you when it's, and then not just no reason for you to even have any comfort. Because of the Holy Spirit, the comfort is there, even if another person is not there. But the Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after the righteousness. So this is why Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I know you need every other thing. No, He's saying, I know y'all need this. I know you need that. But seek for my kingdom first, my rule and my reign in your heart and your life, my way of doing things. But the kingdom come within. And the Bible says we're blessed when we do that. Thirst after righteousness. But they shall be filled. So a lot of times, you know, people tell me, but you know, well, I want the Lord to feed me. I want the Lord to do this and do that. I said, He said, if you're hungry, thirst at the right, He's going to feed you. One thing about God, He's not going to give it all to you at one time because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. I mean, I know when the anointing of God had been on me so, and the presence of God had been on me so, it's just like I couldn't take no more. And I've had to ask God to lift it. Please lift it. But He give you enough at one time, and what He does is, just like in a relationship, what He does is he keeps you seeking after Him. He won't let you get completely overflowed and full. He keeps you seeking after Him. He keeps you praying. He keeps you wanting. So that may be when He keeps you praying, He may have it be something that you need and want, or either a situation that you're in, but He keeps you hungering and thirsting after Him. But the Bible said, bless they which do hunger and thirst after the righteousness. So basically, like I tell people, one of the main things that for people to do, thirst after and hunger after the things of God. So find out what's on your heart, God. What do you want? What do you want? Because when you take care of God's business, guess what He'll do? He'll take care of yours. He'll take care of them without even having to you to do anything. Or this is what I keep telling, trying to tell people about my life. And it's really, to be honest, it does vex me a lot of times. People don't understand the way God does or take a person. And a lot of times they may see a situation going on, and they're trying to fix it or work it out. And I tell them, you know, only thing, if you do anything, if I ask you, because I'm very careful about who I ask to pray for me, you need to pray whatever God's will is, because whatever the situation is, good, bad, or indifferent, if I'm in the center of His will, He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of me. You know, okay, how bad it is or how whatever it is, I said, a lot of times I said, you know, people get in the flesh and they want to go do this and want to go do that and want to go do the other, but they have not learned. This I have to learn on my own, too. If I go somewhere to do something, anything, and God ain't told me to go, God had the people slam the door in my face. They won't help me. You have to be learned to be led by the Spirit, because that's when He will give you the favor. And like I tell people, I'm not a talker to talk you out of anything. Because if you think I'm pretty big, you got another thought coming. I don't plan on doing that. I don't plan on that. That's why I could never be a salesman. That's why, you know, stuff like that, because I just didn't have, I guess it wasn't my calling. I didn't have it into me to be begging people to buy stuff. Begging people. And I have seen people beg people, and people look at them like they're crazy, you know. No, you may look at me stupid, but not because of that. And now I know who my source is. So if you won't do, He'll use somebody else to do. So it doesn't matter, you know, it does not matter. But the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you show mercy to others or somebody else, God's going to show mercy to you. It may not be to every person, but He'll show mercy because His word says so. But the Bible says you are blessed by being merciful. Because the peace of God is on the inside, the joy of God, the favor of God, you know, You enjoy the heavenly things where other people are not. Because why? You're not something, you know, worry about what somebody else said and da-da, this, that, and other. And I tell people, and I used to tell them a lot, too, y'all ain't that important on my mind, to keep you on my mind on 24/7. Because if you think you're that important, you can hang it up. I got more important things to think about rubbing you. Now, I wasn't trying to be arrogant. I wasn't trying to be anything like that. But I'm trying to tell those people that have pride, you need to get out the air. Because if you think anyone will keep you other than God, and I used to say your mother too, you know, but basically, if it do, it'll be somebody like that, a real true mother, and your father, I mean, the Heavenly Father. But no one else is going to have you in their mind 24/7. Nobody else. So anybody that's up in that air like that, they're up in the air, and they're thinking that's what's going to be, what's going to happen. But pride coming for destruction and a Holy Spirit for a fall. And you can tell when a person getting ready to fall because they get very haughty. They're very nasty. Oh, they're getting ready to fall. Now, like I say, they may not fall as quick as we think they ought to fall, but they will fall because the Bible just don't lie. The Bible just don't lie. You know, so we got to stick to the Word of God. But the next scripture says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And basically what that means, it's not necessarily, yeah, it's going to heaven, but it's not that. When your heart is pure and you don't have no this arrogant thoughts in it and all these negative stuff and all this stuff, you will be able to see God in any circumstance. And even in the blessing, if he's not letting material blessing come in, you know, maybe sustaining you. If you got a pure heart, you'll see that even in that God is blessing you. But a person that got crazy thoughts and all this stupid stuff, because I was really trying to talk to an individual the other day, and somebody was coming by the house and this, that, and the other, you know, and seeing if they got this and that around the house. I told myself, you know, what we as Christians got to learn, sometimes God let people stop by, and we stop thinking stupid thoughts. We could think, and think God may give you a word, because that person may need a word for encouragement. God, that person may be going through something. They may have stopped by there for one particular thing they think. Because God will use certain incidents to get us to a place that he know otherwise we won't go. Or he allow us to see things that sort of like interest us. But he got another reason why he sent us. But we have to be ready at any given time that it may be an angel, unaware, you know, and they're not going to come with a three-piece suit on either. They're not going to come with that. But see, God knows a lot of time I have a heart and right and whatever it is, so he might send somebody look like a regular beggar that want a glass of water. See, when God has called us every day, it's just not a Sunday thing, it's just not a Wednesday thing, or whatever day they want to go to your Bible study, because what good is you going and not going to take the Bible word and apply it to your life? And not knowing that you are in the kingdom of God now. So since you're in the kingdom of God, that you got me at any given time, that you look on the person and they look so sad, and God may give you a word to say something to cheer them up. Now, well, why are you looking like that? Looking like that. They don't have to look like that. They ought to be thankful. That's not your place to sit up and say that. See, so a lot of times, like I say, your person with their heart is not pure, they can't see God. They can't see that person need help. All they can see is why they shouldn't be, but who has said anything to them and come to them and try to help them. Now, I keep trying to tell people, you know, because people are telling me, well, you know, people don't know, you know, you can't sit. Now, I said, hold up, wait a minute, when God called you, why do you think he called you? Because people don't know. What are you talking about? He called for you to teach them, just like you teach your children. If you don't teach them, how you think they're going to know them, pick it up from the streets? God got all of his business intact. All of it, but he just got to have vessels. The scriptures tell us that the field is white, but the labels are few. So why? People sit up taking care of their own stuff. Maybe they're going to church and reading the word and praying, but there's somebody down the street needs to be encouraged. Somebody may not even be able to cook their food. But what the family that's got nothing to do with it? You are the family. You are the vessel. He want to come through you. That's what I'm going to come. I remember, years ago coming up, and I don't know whether all them people were going to church or whatever they are, but I remember the neighbors used to go and see about the neighbors and somebody sick or something. They didn't come and ask them people, where your children at? Where your family at? They showed more love. And the body of Christ, we have gotten away from what true love is, because Scripture said the love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. It doesn't make any difference who it is. It doesn't make any difference what color they is. Because Jesus only see the blood. He don't see anything. If he's in my heart, then that's the only thing I'm going to see. That's the only thing I do see. I don't care whether they're family, whether they're other people or whoever. I only see the blood. And like I say, and I do have some family that's not saved. I don't interact with them as much as I do with one that's born again, because we have no conversation. They talk religion. They don't talk kingdom. It's not that I love them any less. I don't. I don't love them any less. But the Bible's talking about being unequally yoked together with unbeliever. And that could be family, church people, whoever. But like I said, but if your heart is pure, I don't look at people coming to me wanting stuff. Now in the world, I thought like this. They come to me, why they come to me and want this, that, and other. I don't think like that anymore. Because if they came, God had to send them. He had to send them. So evidently, I got what they need. If not, somebody else. I tell people this, what I had to learn, that a lot of time God would allow things to come my way. And I don't know, it just come to me that everything coming my way is not for me. And so later on, it'll be somebody come, and they just get to talking, and come to find out the very thing that God done had somebody else to give me is what they want. And I know, I learned from that, that maybe this other person wasn't going to see the person, and God knew they're going to come by my house because he knows everything, for me to give it to them. Because I am a stewardess. We all are stewardess. But God to use in every capacity. It's just not preaching and teaching and prophesying and all this stuff that people do. You know, they want to do all of that. But they don't want to serve other people. But what's the use of giving out the word, but you're not taking the word and using the word for your own life and serving other people? I come to serve, but the Bible said, also it said, blessed are the peacemaker. A peacemaker is somebody who's trying to keep peace. Now, people say, but you ain't supposed to do that. People be running all over. You got to tell them what you say. But see, in saying that, look what's coming out of my heart. What kind of heart do I have? But he said, they're blessed. And like I said, bless me to be prosperous. It may be spiritual happiness, to having the favor of God, enjoying a heavenly blessing, the joy of heaven, you satisfy. It's a state of pleasantness. You know, this is what blessed means. So, according to Scripture, we got to believe what the Word says. If I try to keep peace, then the Bible says I'm blessed. But first of all, with me, though, when that happened like that, and I let people sometimes run their mouth, and I look at them. In the world, I wasn't going to look at you like they are. I mean, I say something. But I'm saying they're upset, but I'm not. So I'm blessed. So now they puffing and puffing. Now their heart beating fast. Now their blood pressure run up. And now all this stuff in mind is still calm. You don't allow the enemy to let you react to every negative thing. Because if you've been born again and come out of the world, that part will be dead. That part will be dead. And basically what the scripture says, you're not going to be blessed if you don't not been a peacemaker. And the Bible tells us, I think it's in Hebrew, but I follow peace with all men and holiness, holds men to be consecrated and set apart, that no man shall see the Lord. So he's telling us, people say, well, you know, you're not supposed to take stuff and God just don't make you, you know, this and God don't make you that. I don't know what Bible they're reading, because if they look at the life of Jesus and then the rest of the people that he used, look what Paul had to go. He told Paul, you're going to suffer many things for the kingdom. He said, there are some of us, because of the particular kind of anointing, people's going to hate and despise you because anything wrong, you are not going to go along. But that's the calling God gave you. And this is why a lot of times people try not to walk into their calling, because it's not, they're not favored to people. But if I got to be favored to you because you want to use me, I'd rather not be favored to you. I'd rather not have it for my friends or associated, whatever you want to call it. But when you preach the true gospel, and you know, you call wrong or whatever it is, then, like I said, those who don't want to walk in righteousness, they're going to hate you. That's just the way it is. But do not change for them. Do not change for them. Because basically, like I say, I feel like this. I don't need you. If I got to please you, you know, and do like you want me to do, and I'm always in a not a tight place, because I'm afraid of whatever I might do, you might get offended. I don't need you around me. And I'm not going to have you around me. I can't stand to be in chain, because that's still in bondage. And he said, I come to set the captives free. So you don't need a scientist. You don't need a prophet. You don't need a preacher, pastor, if you know the word and you're in the word. That any time you're in a situation like that, you know you're supposed to separate yourself. You're supposed to separate yourself. You don't need that because you stand upset and you're asking God, Lord, please, Jesus, help me, Lord Jesus, please, Lord, give me peace, Jesus, please. He's telling you, okay, I'm letting you feel this thing that no, it's not. Now I'm giving you a door. You stay away or you let it go. Because if you can't take me to where I'm trying to go, and this should be with you all too. If a person can't take you to a place in Christ, and if they're not there, they said they can't, then you don't need them. If you're going to keep me down and, you know, keep me this, and I've had to go through this with people, I don't care what it was I said I was going to do. How you going to do that? Do you have the money? I'm not asking them for anything. I'm not even asking them to pray. So I know right off. You ain't somebody I need to be talking to. I don't say nothing to them. You learn how to discern. There's something you don't need. You need somebody encouraging you to do the best, not encouraging me to do wrong. Not encouraging me, like somebody recently tried to basically peeing them up, be peeing upon me. Encourage me really not to really trust God like I'm trusting God. Go and try to work things out myself. I can't work nothing out if he closed the door, because the Bible tells me whatever door he opened, no man can close it. Whatever door he closed, no man can open it. I'm obeying the word. That's what I'm doing. I'm obeying the word. But the Bible says, bless up the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. I mean, go back to that. Now, so basically, if a person is not a peacemaker, now we're sticking to the scripture. They cannot be called the children of God. He's only the peacemaker shall be called the children of God. And this is why I tell people, everybody's his creation. But everybody is not his child. That's why I tell you to study scripture. Study the scripture. Because the Bible says, those who you, I mean, whoever you obey, that's your daddy. But he had to make a way for everyone to come in that would choose to come in. But he also knew everybody wasn't going to accept him. So this is why with me, sometimes people get kind of hurt me. Well, they're a child of God. And child, I said, well, you need to study scripture. They are his creation. But he said, tells us, his children is the one connected and obey him. Not just because I go to church, or just because I pray, or just because I do all these rituals, but yet still, I don't really listen to nothing he say. I do what I want to do when I get ready. You can't serve two masters at all. But anyway, the Bible said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Whenever anyone is persecuting you because you're trying to live right, because you're trying to tell them the truth, this is a part of your relationship, your walk with Christ. As long as, and the scripture tells us, as long as it's not that you're doing, they're coming against you because something you did. The Bible still tells you to rejoice. So this thing that I see lately, because I do get this a lot from a lot of people, and I wonder, Lord, if to do to read the Bible. But I don't understand why this and the devil this and that. Stop giving the devil all that praise. You lift up the devil when you do Jesus. He said we're going to be persecuted. I know why people don't like me. I know why they don't want to hear me. That don't bother me no more since I grew. It don't bother me because I know I'm being persecuted like Jesus did. The Jews hated Jesus. They was his people. They didn't want to hear him preaching to you. He is the Son of God. So now what's going to happen to us when you tell people the truth? Don't compromise with people. Because their life could be at stake. and you're telling them the truth to help them. You're telling them out of love. That's what love is. Love is not allowing things to work on with people to make them feel good, you know, and all this stuff. And somebody get ready to get what? They get hurt or get killed. And you're going to, and they're walking in front of a car, hypothetically. And you're going to say, but hey, don't go out there because the car coming. No, you might have to holler at them. Tell them to look quiet because you're trying to save their life. That is love. People don't know what love is. Because, when Jesus in your heart, you know, and this is the way he works. Because a lot of times he had prophets and things, you know, correcting me, getting on me. I don't know why I never thought it was, but they shouldn't do it, or they shouldn't this, and that and other. But I know in my heart, it kept me a lot from going in another direction. It kept my mind and heart stayed on the Lord. Every time, because why? I was getting ready to get off the wrong path, not necessarily go back out in the streets, but a lot I had to do, God had told me to start running to a lot of the different churches and things, and I had what I call the church energy, and was not getting stuff I needed to grow. And he was protecting me. So the last warning he gave me, he told me, say, I never told you to go, and from now on don't go unless I tell you to go, or lead you to go. So I learned from that. Not just with that, to be led by the Spirit of God in me. If I have no peace about whatever it is, I'm not intending to do it. That's it. People, you know, they don't understand sometimes. They get kind of haughty and nasty and all that, but this is my soul salvation. He may not be telling you this, but I got to be led by the Spirit of God in me. But the Bible also said, I'm going to say that, read that again, 10th verse, coming from Matthew, the 5th chapter, it's about the Beatitudes. It said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you're not being persecuted about the things of God and for righteousness' sake, then the devil already got you back. He hated Jesus, he's going to hate you. And most times, to be real and honest with you, it's not so much the world people as it is the church people. Now, a lot of times the world people, because of some of the stuff that they're doing, they want to do, and they want you to go along with it. But a lot of times the church people, when God is using you, especially, you know, for signs and wonders and all of these different things, and God is using you, give you revelation and knowledge. He giving you, you know, showing you vision and dreams. You know, people's going to hate you for that. Because they want it. See, they won't open themselves up to the Lord to get it. They're going to say, and I know what I'm talking about because I know what I've been through, but you think you know, I don't know nothing. Only what I do know is what he gave me. He had to open up my brain for me to get it. And why should you be jealous when you have the same opportunity? Most people have come against me. It wasn't the world people. And I'm saying this to help you to understand and know this is a part of your calling. This is a part of what's supposed to happen. If everybody loving and lacking you, you ain't stirring up the devil in no kind of way. You ain't stepping on his toes. Stop stepping on his toes. Call sin sin. Call wrong when people wrong. That's out of love. Because some of us got ministry. Have a ministry and anointing. It's reproving and correcting and rebuking and tearing down Satan's kingdom. That's what it is. The Lord had told me one time way back through a prophet, I mean, this has been some years back, so the Lord said, you just like Jeremiah. Now, because I've hear, I'll say name brand prophet things that they, we don't have no prophets like the Old Testament. That's a lie from the pits of hell. But anyway, the Lord said, you just like Jeremiah. You got fire shut up in your bone. And when I first got saved, the Lord began to send me in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, all the major prophets and then in the minor prophets. And I was wondering, why does he send me in this? But he started me out in King James Version, which that's what I basically say with now. But because what calling is he done put in there, what kind of prophetic calling, what kind of ministry, what kind he done put in, he will lead you to the study of, to read that what's in you. He will lead you to do that. But see, but then, like I say, but that particular call and the anointing is how God operates through you. Okay? Everybody don't have the same anointing to operate the same way. Okay? So there will be people, because God got you doing uniquely, acting uniquely, if it's preaching differently or prophesying, whatever it is, there are some people. This is just the way it is. They will despise you for that. But you didn't give yourself that anointing. You are a vessel for him to use. I'm not a vessel for him to say, but Lord, you know, I want to preach today. I want to teach today. Use me however you choose to use me. If you want to use me trying to sing, and right now, you know, I don't have that voice of singing. Use me however you choose, because I'm a vessel that you live on the inside. I'm, you know, this temple here, you live in me. So you want to come up whenever you get ready and bring forth what you want to go and bless your people. I don't know what they need. They don't know what they need. But you know what they need. Because I remember, and I had somebody last and recently, I told him, I said, something else I better ask him God about, because I wanted to know, you know, what is his direction and instruction on it, whether he want me to do this or that or do the other. I said, the Lord, the main thing that God had said to me, I said, the last several months, is talking about what he done called me for to do, talk about how he done anointed me, how he done appointed me, how he done ordained me, gave me authority, you know, it's talking about his kingdom, his people. And I was kind of laughing, not at them now, I'm going to do that. But I was saying, Lord Jesus, seems to me, you really, it's about your kingdom and what you have called me for. So that meant that the thing you working on them, but you don't want me to focus on that. So you won't show me nothing, you won't give me nothing, but it's most of that. So see, what people don't realize, God's people, it's so important. He got a lot of people crying out to him. Y'all, there's no laborers out there in the field. The field is white. Everybody's busy. Everybody just want to, you know, just want to do one, maybe one of them. He telling me recently, the whole gospel got to begin to be preached. Jesus said, go and set the captive free. Go and heal people, deliver people. Cast out demons. Open blinded eyes. And that's not what people are doing. People are going to, you know, and some of these people I know that I have ministered to, they so messed up. You give them a word, and they get happy and jump up, and the next minute, they down again because they have no substance in them to call them to stand, because somebody needed to probably bring deliverance. So the whole gospel is not being preached, because we as a people, not just me, but I'm just using we. People, we like for God to use us on whatever we want to. But God, use me any kind of way you want to use me. And that's just like even now, a lot of times, because other times I've kept operating all fivefold, you know, office with China. And there are times certain anointing come up on you at certain times. But the Lord been talking to me a lot lately for the last 7 months. I'm taking you deeper in teaching. You know, so that means if he's operating a gift, I can't pull up a gift when I get ready. And people don't understand that. But I want to hear this, I want to hear that. I'm going to have to give you what he's giving me. Because he said you need this word in you, because this word is the only thing going to sustain you during all these hard times coming now, all these killings. You're going to have to know my word down in your spirit. That's what you're going to have to know. You're going to have it in that. So when the enemy comes at you, the word will come up. Because the sword of the spirit is the word of God. And the Bible's going to put on the whole armor of God. I can't just have what you say, that's what you're going to bless me with, and don't have the word of God. Because everything that's going on around me, everything that's happening to me, it looks like I ain't going to make it to even get them promises. But put the word in me. Let me get the word in my spirit, the food in my spirit. True revelation. That'll help me to walk out what you say you're going to do in my life. And knowing at the right time, it's going to come. But the Bible said, the 11th verse said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. That's when people come to you and report you, come to you, you know, come down on you, bring shame to you. The Bible said you're blessed. And I told you what blessed means to be prosperous. Spiritual happiness, it means to be fully satisfied, a state of joy. It means enjoying heavenly blessings. When people shall revile you and persecute you, I have people come to me. They've been in the Lord church. I'm going to say church all the time. But Sister Ruth, or sometimes they say Pastor Sister Ruth, or, you know, somebody lied on me. They lied on Jesus. Didn't he just say they're going to revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely? But guess what they're doing it for? His name said you are named to be one of his. You're his children. So this is why they're doing it. They're not doing it because you look good, smart, or whatever people want to say. Because you name the name of Christ, and he forewarned us of this is going to happen to you because you are one of mine. And like I was saying the other night when I was talking about the suffering of Christ, the necessity of us suffering and going through persecution, hardship, calamity, all this stuff, is unavoidable. You cannot go and hide or stay in, and some people are doing that. Also, they got called and God want to send them to the nation and send them out and what's going on, and they won't go because you know people out there, they mean now, people out there, they do this. Well, I tell you what, when you stand before Christ, they're going to wish they had it because their protection is in the will of God. Wherever he say, be, if it's amongst a bunch of snakes, copperheads, because I've been there, not, it wasn't physical snakes, but on the job, I mean, it wasn't nothing but people. Because of Christ, hated my guts, and God showed me a dream. Them big-headed snakes. That everywhere I stepped, I couldn't step nowhere unless a snake was up. But he kept me on that job until my work was finished, and not the physical work they had, but the rich person I had to reach. Didn't like what I saw, to see it in the people, but see, he was showing me his protection. He was not sending me to a people that's, you know, everything's all right and everything this, and they love me, they like me, they want to hear what I got to say. No, because people don't want to hear that when they're doing wrong. But the Bible says, I'm going to read that again, blessed are ye when mankind shall revile you and say all manners of evil against you, false mindset. We need to thank God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Give me the grace, God, not to get upset, not to get bitter, not to get whatever it is, because I know that the devil must don't have me for them coming against me like that. I know that this is where your promotion come in. You know, your attitude, the right attitude determines your attitude, how fast you grow spiritually. You don't have to really pray to grow spiritually and all that stuff. All you have to do is yield to whatever God sent your way with the right attitude. Look at it the way he look at it, like he said, you know, he was an example. And that'll move you up in the spirit realm. It may not look like it to people, but it'll move you up in the spirit realm quicker. When man is still seeing you at the low level of the ladder, but God's seeing you way up in heaven. You know, you one of his giants, or you one of his generals, or you one of his, you royalty, or you gold. Even though on the outside of man, you're not. Man may not even want to use you. But see, but one thing you got to remember this. When God raising you up, he ain't raising you up just to be raising you up. He is raising you up for his people. But those are tests that you go through in going up. You have to go through that so you'll be able to deal with that when you get it to a higher level. But the Bible said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, when you be blessed and happy through all these things that might happen to you, be rejoiced. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. That means they'll be overly joyous. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Why did he tell us that? To tell us that they did them like that. You're going to go through it too. Without complaining, I'm a crying. This is why you hear me say a lot of times, because I haven't been in ministry, you know, a long time, I don't pray people out of trouble. I pray you through it. But I'm in that with you. Because you need it in order to move up in Christ. Because if I pray you out of it, later on he's going to send you through again, but going to be worse on you than it would have been the first time. We are not called to pray people out of trouble, because he said in his word that those who respect him or those who obey him, our angels are protecting us. So if the angels are protecting us, then why does it need me, out of ignorance, unlearned, going to pray that you could come up out of it? Because the angels is not going to allow so much to happen, because they're there protecting. If they go over what God said it's going to do, the angels going to jump in and do something. But we've got to rejoice. And you know, I say it as a testimony to tell people, you know, wherever I am now, I really don't ask God, I just know I'm in him. But people don't know the testimony that I have, you know, the rejection and all of this, what's come, you know, because of people not understanding too. Yeah, but all of that, he knew that when he called me. Because he had told me, maybe about 15 years ago, more, he said, that will be people that will never understand you. That will be people that will never like you. He didn't say it to hurt my feelings. He wanted to make me aware and protect my heart, so when it started happening, I won't be been out of shape or wonder why they don't like me and, you know, all this stuff. He wants us to grow up in him. He wants us to mature, because he will not give a baby. A lot of people are asking God for work, and they claim they want work. They want work, but they want work. But let me tell you something. He will not give a spiritual baby no people, his people, lies in their hand. He won't do it. He won't do it. One other thing I'm going to say, because my time is basically running out, but back in 2012, before then, even in pastoring, I'm sincere about my word. I'm sincere. I live what I preach and all this stuff and stuff. But people come against me so bad. The Lord had a prophet from North Carolina, and she was one of them straight up. And I've been on a while. She'll tell you just like it is. It is what it is. And she don't bite her tongue. And but anyway, she was saying that the Lord was saying he's going to have to refine you, purify you, and conform you most of his character. So I'm saying to myself, because I don't talk back, I don't try to question, I don't receive that, you know, all that stuff, unless it's from somebody that I know coming from their flesh. But anyway, I'm saying to myself, she said, for the greater works that God got to do. And I'm saying, but God, you have changed me so much, I don't even know myself. I'm taking stuff that I know I wouldn't have taken in the world. But he said, but see, when I'm calling you to minister to people, I'm not sending you to people that's already all that. I'm sending you with people with problems so you can help them. So you got to be able to take it. You got to be able to still minister to them, no matter what they're saying, how they're acting. And so from 2012 to 2016, he really, really sent me through some hard stuff with people. I mean, rolling me up and rolling me out. I'm praying and praying and praying and, you know, asking God, please change them. Please move them, or either Lord, I pray for somebody else to teach him. But he was using the fire to purify me, to get me to the point that I was sticking and do what he tell me to do. No matter how nobody treated me or how they looking over me or how they whatever, knowing that he called me and ordained me. He said, no man is going to promote you. I'm going to be the one. I'm the one that called you. So he just wanted me to be encouraging to you all and teach the lesson and let people know things are worse and getting ready to get worse and not getting ready to get better. But you're going to have to be a person that you're so stable in your spirit, man. In your spirit, man, that when you go through or whatever come against you, whether it's on your job or wherever it is, that I shall not be moved. I will not be moved. I'm going to stand strong in Jesus, because when I got him with me, then more than the whole world against me. So I want to just encourage you, and, you know, I want to let you know we need to start to be more blessed and happy because of what he allowed us to go through, because greater is our reward, he said, even in heaven. But if they persecute the prophet, they're going to persecute us. So we bless you. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank God for what he's doing, what he's going to do. I pray, God, just continue to strengthen you and your inner man to be able to just, you know, just whatever it takes, knowing that he's taking you somewhere in him. He's taking you somewhere in him. And like I say, and when he say you his, can't no devil in hell destroy you. He won't let them. He destroyed them. He destroyed them before he destroyed you. He won't let them. As long as you know you're doing the right thing and you got the right kind of heart. And I'm not going to be honest and just telling people, yeah, it don't feel good sometimes. It don't hurt sometimes. But I know now because of having gone through some things and come to a place I am now, it don't bother me as much as it used to bother me. It really don't, because I know they didn't want to get the problem. I think the only thing bothering me now, mainly one of the things is when I'm trying to help people with the word, they're going to turn around and try to give it back to me like I need it, but like, cause I was telling one lady that she texts me all the time and sends me the word. I told you to take that word and apply it to your own life. Now, yeah, I can enjoy the word. But you're the one whining and crying, not me. I'm not whining and crying. But anyway, we thank God for you, and we pray for you, and we bless you. So just have a blessed night. And text me that information I told you, because just on you, not the other lady, got that information I asked you, if you don't mind. And let me know whenever you're off, so I won't be bothering you. What's coming? Well, okay, but bless you and have a blessed night. I love you.